KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting jazz musicians Nate Smith and Keon Harold, celebrating the birthday of John Coltrane, September 23rd at the Epstein Family Amphitheater. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, we look at new research on the Salton Sea and its toxic impact on nearby neighborhoods. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. Straddling both Imperial and Riverside counties, California's Salton Sea is the state's largest lake. It's long suffered from toxic air and water, and for years, the health and well-being of people who live near it has suffered due to its toxic air and water. Research out of UCLA is calling for more solutions, though, to that pollution. Joining me now is Isabella Arsino Soltero. She is Assistant Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering at UCLA. Professor, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So happy to have you on. Give me a little history here for those who don't know. What is the Salton Sea and how did it first become polluted?
So the Salton Sea, a lot of people think, was accidentally created in 1905, but it's actually in a basin that used to be filled by a lake called Lake Cahuilla. And it used to be filled and emptied on a regular basis about every 100 years up until we decided to start damming the Colorado River. And then in 1905, one of those dams broke and filled what we currently know as the Salton Sea Basin. And since then, most of the water that reaches the Salton Sea itself is composed of agricultural runoff. And agricultural runoff is full of nutrients. And that has created a huge ecological imbalance in the water that has then affected the air quality of the surrounding areas.
Well, and your research looked into that air quality and also the water quality impacts to the region around the Salton Sea and communities there. I want to start with the air quality, though. Your research mentions hydrogen sulfide, and this is something many residents here in San Diego's South Bay have complained about from the Tijuana River pollution there. And I think the first thing people talk about is that smell. Tell me more about that and what hydrogen sulfide is.
So hydrogen sulfide is that rotten egg smell that people associate with decomposition, say. And the state of California actually has a standard for hydrogen sulfide. Hydrogen sulfide in the environment shouldn't surpass 30 parts per billion. And that's because over long chronic exposures, it can have harmful impacts for physical and mental health. I'm sure that a lot of the residents in Southern California that have been exposed to hydrogen sulfide know that once you're there, you feel like you're suffocating a little bit, like you don't want to be there mentally. You want to be inside somewhere else with clean air, et cetera.
What kind of impact does it have on the health, especially from long-term exposure? Do we know or is that an area of study?
It's a current active area of study. There's been a lot of peer-reviewed research on the more industry-related, acute, very high exposure to hydrogen sulfide, but there's nascent research on the chronic exposures to lower, more ambient levels. But we know from some of the recently published peer-reviewed articles that some of those symptoms include headaches, nausea. Some people report sleep apnea. Some people report problems breathing, nosebleeds, etc.
Well, what did your research find when it comes to hydrogen sulfide levels around the Salton Sea?
So I mentioned that the state has this hydrogen sulfide standard, 30 parts per billion. And what my research found was that for communities around the Salton Sea, they're exposed to hundreds of hours during which the hydrogen sulfide concentrations surpass the state standard. And so they have to be continuously living with these unhealthy levels of hydrogen sulfide.
So what happens when air quality standards just don't meet state limits?
If that's a great question. You would think that the government would do something to fix the situation, but alas, that is part of what we're calling for, more enforcement, because we know that it's exceeding the state standards, but if there's no enforcement related to that, then what's the point of even having a state standard?
Right. So there's no enforcement. Your research points to gaps in monitoring to get a full picture of this hydrogen sulfide that's in the air. Tell me more about what's missing here.
So a lot of what's missing is, first of all, more monitoring spatially. So unfortunately, there's only a few monitors that are placed either to the very north of the Salton Sea or to the very south of the Salton Sea. I think in total, there's about four hydrogen sulfide monitors, which incidentally were placed near the Salton Sea when people in nearby Palm Springs started complaining about the smell, even though the communities around the Salton Sea have had to be dealing with this for their entire lives. Now, the placement of these sensors is such that they only really capture the hydrogen sulfide concentrations when the wind is pointing in a very specific direction. And so they're missing a lot of other exposure in areas that don't have sensors. And I know that recently we had, recently there was a published article that mentioned that in reality, lakes, especially in the U.S., that are situated in areas where in communities of color are actually monitored significantly less than if they were situated in wealthier white neighborhoods. And this comes back to this point of, if you don't monitor it and you don't, if you don't have evidence of the problem, then you don't have the responsibility of doing something to fix that problem.
Mm-hmm. A real issue of environmental justice happening here. So the Salton Sea, as of now, is the state's largest lake, but the water's receding. So tell us about what's happening now and why that's important.
So right now, there's a lot of money being invested into the Salton Sea. And since the passing of the quantification settlement agreement in the early 2000s, the state has had a legal obligation to restore the Salton Sea. Now, a lot of the investments that are going on in the Salton Sea have to do with the ecology. And unfortunately, a lot of these projects, I believe, are going to soon become obsolete as the water levels continue to decline because they rely a lot on the spatial connection to the Salton Sea. And the water levels are receding even at a more accelerated pace these past 2 years than they have during the past 20 or so years. So during the past 20 or so years, it's been going down at about a level of 20 centimeters per year. And now, as of last year, it's going down at about 50 centimeters every year. And that really accelerates the rate at which we're going to see this water body disappear.
Mm. Well, and as it continues to recede, I would imagine that dust kicks up, causing more air pollution, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. You know, what can you tell us about the people living near the Salton Sea? I mean, navigating the pollution seems to be a daily part of life for them.
Yes. And these are communities that can't necessarily relocate or want to relocate. They are about a quarter of them live below the poverty line. And most of them are either indigenous or Latinx. Many of them are undocumented. And as you know, and I was listening to the previous segment on KPBS, there's a lot of stressors on Latinx communities these days. And there have always been a lot of stressors in Latinx communities, but now more than ever, it's just compounded with this environmental justice lens.
Mm. You know, that's absolutely true there. But tell us about your first trip to the region where one community member explained about how the smell determines where many people live.
Yes. So during my first trip, we went out with a community member, and I was not aware of all the complicated nuances of the communities living around the Salton Sea and the environmental justice issues around the Salton Sea. And in fact, I was there mostly to measure the water quality. But it really struck me that that community member really tried to explain to me where she lived. She lived near the Salton Sea. And when she saw my look of confusion, she said, "The poor people live around the Salton Sea because it stinks. And the people that can afford to live where it doesn't smell tend to be more affluent people."
Hmm. And it's a reflection of what happens in so many communities. You know, your research highlights that the pollution impacts both the water and the air. So how does that complicate the government response to cleanup efforts?
Unfortunately, we have a lot of divisions between agencies and the government, and that's making it very difficult to address the problem. So you have government agencies that are solely dedicated to water quality issues, and you have government agencies that are solely dedicated to air quality issues. Now, we do have presidents of certain groups, working groups that get formed to address interagency topics. Right now, we have groups like the Salton Sea Authority and the Salton Sea Conservancy, who are more focused on the ecosystem aspect of it. But that's a group that's not specifically dedicated to air or water, right? So you could presumably form a new working group that would straddle both the air issues and the water issues. And that includes both tribal representation and intergovernment agency representation, as well as community representation.
Yeah. And finally, I mean, what do you think is missing in restoration efforts?
I think we're missing some investment in nature-based solutions that address the water quality issues, but we're also missing a lot of communication with communities about what they would like to see happen to the playa as it continues to be exposed. So we know that we have to remediate the water. We know that we have to remediate the land. But then also, how are we going to use that exposed land to benefit the community, especially assuming that there's no turning back? The Salton Sea is going away. But can we mitigate the negative effects, and can we really take advantage of the situation for the benefit of the community?
I've been speaking with Isabella Arsenio Soltero, Assistant Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering with UCLA. Professor, thank you so much for the work that you're doing, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.